I'm David Mitchell. Great to have you with us for episode 2 of the First Principles podcast from Curtin Christian Union. In just 15 minutes, we're going to get real with some of the central concepts which make our Christian Union what it is. Our first episode tackled God and His Gospel, and our second is called Disciple Making Disciples. I'm going to suggest that this is how Christians need to see themselves, and since we're the Christian Union, it makes sense for this to be one of our core ideas. Let's get stuck in. Section 1, the heart of the matter, where we get to the center of our topic and think about what it means. Being disciples who make other disciples is not something that some church thought up. This didn't come from the national director of our Australian Fellowship of Evangelical Students. That's the national movement to which the Curtin Christian Union belongs. No, this goes right back to Jesus himself. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. This comes right at the end of Matthew's story. Jesus had been with his disciples for years. He'd showed them who he is. He showed them what his new movement was all about. And he singled out 12 special disciples to be leaders in his community. Now, when Jesus was arrested, it was because one of them had betrayed him. The rest then abandoned him, and one even denied knowing him at all. But now Jesus has died, and he's risen from the dead. So listen to what happens here. Then the 11 disciples went up to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus gave his disciples an immense task. Go and make disciples of all nations. All over the world, every part of it, they've got to tell people about Jesus. Then those people can come to believe and they'll be baptized not simply into a church, but into God's kingdom. And then they've got to teach those people to obey everything Jesus has commanded. And what has Jesus just commanded? To go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything. And so this moment where Jesus speaks to his disciples triggers off a chain reaction from which you and I sit at the very end. This group did their work there, then they pass it on to another group, and then another group did their work, and so did they, and then so did they, and so forth down for the last 1,990-ish years. Notice I'm not saying it was a one-to-one-to-one thing, but a group-to-a-group-to-a-group thing. Because while occasionally it is just one person, mostly this is the work of a group. Jesus says this not to one person alone, but to a whole collective of people. And so it's a collective effort, and people might have different roles to play in that. But this disciple-making disciples chain is never-ending. For on the one hand, there are always more people to tell, more people to invite into God's kingdom, more people to tell about our God and his gospel. That's a plug for episode 1, by the way. On the other hand, being discipled never stops. For how long does it take to learn all the commands of Jesus? And even if we learn them, we're not just called to learn, but to obey them. And that's going to take a whole lifetime to put them into practice. And so we need to keep learning to live them and relearning to obey Jesus and his good and wonderful ways. This seems like an entirely impossible task, to make disciples everywhere. And yet, in many ways, it happened, didn't it? Christianity is actually the only truly global religion. It began in the Middle East and it spread across North Africa and into Europe. It spread south into Africa. It was taken across to the Americas. Now, we think of Christianity as being in decline, but that's not true if you live in Africa or Asia. Christianity is growing fast. Indeed, the second largest group of missionaries after the USA is sent out from South Korea. And comparing Christianity to other world religions shows that Christianity is not only more multi-ethnic and more multilingual than all of them, but far more multicultural. How can this be? How can Christians remain who they are, belonging still to their tribe and their language, while being transformed? And where do Christians get the power to join that chain of disciple-making disciples? Well, this can happen because of two things that Jesus said to those first disciples, and they remain true for every disciple since then. Jesus said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he said, Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Theologically, this spread of Christianity can happen because Jesus really is who he claimed to be. He is the true Messiah, the promised King of God's kingdom. His resurrection is the mark of this, because his resurrection breaks the power of death. And way back in the Old Testament, God had promised that he would make one of David's descendants an eternal world king. And so when Jesus, a descendant of David, rose from the dead, he showed he could be that king. And deeper still, Jesus himself showed that he was the second person of the Trinity. He was God in flesh. And so if he himself is the God of heaven and earth, then everything belongs to him. But let's leave proving that discussion for another time. The point is, Jesus is the king of all peoples and places. There's not one part of this world that he doesn't claim as his own. And so as Christianity spread, we can keep many of our cultural distinctives when we come to him. Though Jesus is also going to transform and change many of those things as well. So we can have Christians of every cultural group. Now, the theological truth of Jesus' power and his presence, it permeated that early church, and it made them able to withstand years of very serious persecution. For a Jewish person to become a follower of Jesus, it could mean rejection from their family, but they did it for the sake of Christ. For a Gentile to become a Christian, they could look crazy for joining some Jewish sect, but they did it for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Early Christians were beaten and arrested and tortured and killed. Those 11 with Jesus on that mountain, history tells us only one of them died in peace. And the one that got away, well, he was arrested, he was beaten, he was spent some time of his life in exile. But all the rest were killed for the name of Jesus. But they knew that he had authority in heaven and on earth, and he was with them. If we take Jesus seriously, we should know that they are safe with the Lord and that we can be safe with him as well. Now, Christians often and regularly and catastrophically fail to live up to the call to which we've been called. We don't live properly as disciples because we need to keep learning all of Jesus' commands and putting them into practice. Nor do we keep following this command and making disciples as we should. But what we are and what we must be if we call on the name of Jesus is disciple-making disciples, because he has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is with us always, and that is who he has made us. That is who he is making us. We now arrive at section 2 of our podcast, What About This? Today's guest is Kate.
Hi.
Thanks for coming, Kate.
Welcome.
What would be one objection that you could raise to this?
What about actually if I don't feel confident enough? I don't feel confident as a disciple, and I don't feel confident enough to make disciples. Like, is it? I know you said it's not just one person doing it, but I don't know that I can do that.
Yeah, like tell me, like what do you do when you don't feel confident? Like, you agree that that's the thing we should be doing.
So I want to make disciples. I want other people to come to know Jesus.
But who am I to be the one to do that?
Yeah. Shouldn't it be like this big group of experts who does it all?
I think part of the thing that's surprising in this story when we read it is that it says, like, they went up on the mountain with Jesus and they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Like, so even this, like, even these 11 guys who've seen Jesus risen from the dead multiple times are there, and they're like, oh, I don't know what I'm meant to be doing. Like, So I take it that it's natural and normal for Christians to have doubts. It's about whether we let those things stop us from doing the things that we know that Jesus is calling us to do. And that's not to say it's then some really easy, direct kind of thing. But we can, if we know those core things, know those central things, I think we can take those things and run with them.
Yeah, that's helpful to know. Actually, you don't have to be completely confident in everything. Partly, we do have a community, a group of people doing it with us.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, I do take confidence from the fact that Jesus is the one on mission. Jesus is the one who is actually the ones making disciples. And sometimes I think he's crazy for choosing to do it through us, right?
And I think if we're waiting until the point where we are completely, where we've completely got it all together, we're going to be waiting for a very long time.
Yeah. So we're never actually going to start actually sharing and making disciples if we actually wait till we're the perfect disciple before we actually get to do it.
Yeah, that's right. So I think that when Jesus is the one who's driving the mission and pushing it along, and he's the one with all the authority in heaven and earth, I know it doesn't actually rest in me anyway. So like my lack of self-confidence and self-doubt doesn't change the fact that who Jesus is ultimately actually.
Oh, yeah. And actually, that's such a good reminder that actually Jesus has authority not only over my life, but he has authority over everyone else's life, even if they don't understand it or accept it.
Yeah.
Actually, he still is the one with all authority in heaven and earth. And so actually, it's not me trying to say how good I am at being a disciple. Yeah. It's actually me encouraging people to look to Jesus rather than, look at me and how good I am.
Yeah. And I think when because we often feel that pressure of like, who am I to tell someone else what they should be doing with their life? And I don't, even though I know Jesus, I know I don't have it all together. But that's the key thing. It's not because I have it all together. It's because Jesus has it all together.
Yeah.
And so if I'm just more confident in him, that will give me the identity and the attitude I need to be able to take what I do know and share that with other people, or what I am fully aware of and share that with others.
Yeah, I think it's great encouragement to actually go, I'm not actually trying to do this for me. Actually, it is an act of love, and if I keep pointing people to Jesus, he's the one that's going to actually be doing the work rather than my sister calls it know your place.
Yeah, what does that mean?
So it means actually you're not God, you're not the one that changes hearts, but you are speaking the truth in love and encouraging people, and that's your place. Your place is to do those jobs, not to fix people or change people.
Yeah.
But it's actually to just be faithful.
It's still a big thing. It's still a complicated thing. It's still something we have to work up towards doing, but it's something we can do confidently, boldly.
Yeah, because of Jesus.
Because of Jesus, yeah.
Not because of us.
We're going to think more about that in our next episode. But thanks so much for coming in, Kate.
Thanks for having me. See ya.
We'll now move into section 3, one student's response. Today we're going to hear from Declan responding to what he's just heard.
Christianity is a global religion. That is an amazing truth which I have witnessed firsthand. I attend a church called All Nations Church, and every Sunday I see people from all over the world, from South America to Asia, gathered under the same roof to worship Jesus. This was foreseen in the 6th century BC, when Daniel prophesies about the Son of Man, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. At the Fellowship of Overseas Christian University Students, or FOCUS, I've met Christians from places as diverse as Namibia, Singapore, West Papua, and America. This is just another taster of the wonderful unity that members of all nations will experience in Christ. This is beautifully depicted in Revelation 7, which describes a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. As David points out, we as Christians have been chosen to make disciples from all nations. The amazing reality of Revelation 7 is brought about because of the work of Christ through us. While Christianity is a global religion, many people groups remain unreached. Exactly 7,397 people groups, according to the Joshua Project. That's more than 40% of the people groups in the world. That's 3.22 billion individuals that have never heard the amazing truth of the gospel that David described in episode 1. Personally, I am both amazed and challenged by the disciple-making process David talks about here. I'm constantly amazed at the global nature of Christianity, but deeply challenged by the fact that so many people around the world are still yet to hear the gospel.
One sentence to wrap it all up, and then I'll pray. Jesus is the King of the world, and he calls his disciples to keep making and growing more disciples. Heavenly Father, we praise you that in your mercy we can call on the name of Jesus and be saved, and that you enable us to share that news with others. Work in us by your Spirit to take our part as growing disciples who make and grow other disciples, all for the glory of Jesus and his kingdom. Amen. That was the second episode of the First Principles podcast from Curtin Christian Union, Disciple Making Disciples. It featured Kate Shenzalores, who's one of our staff members, and Declan Ellis, who's on our student committee. Music was provided by another of our students called Jared, and I'm David Mitchell. Thanks for listening.